Shalom. Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. This is Billy Brim coming to you today from out on Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri. This is our third day to be with you as near to live as we can be because I've been wanting to talk to you about what's going on with Lebanon, with Israel, what's going on with in London, the things that we're facing, what in the world is going on or what is going on in this world. Yesterday we talked about Lebanon. We gave a history of how it became the puppet state of Iran and the place that it holds in today's world. I want to take you first off today before we get back into that, into Bible prophecy. Luke 21, Jesus, as his disciples had asked him, "What will be the sign of your parousia?" That means your coming as the king, setting up your visible earthly kingdom. And he said to them, Luke 21:29, he spoke to them a parable, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." We know from Joel 1:7 that the fig tree is a nation, a particular nation, the nation of Israel. Therefore, all the other trees are nations. They are the nations of Bible prophecy. Jesus said, if you want to know a sign when the millennial age is about to begin, then watch the nation of Israel and the other nations of Bible prophecy, the ancient nations where God told from the beginning where they would be at the last. The most ancient of all nations that we have in the Bible is Iraq. Iraq was the place of the Garden of Eden. But another ancient nation known in the Bible as Persia, known in the Bible as Elam, is the nation of Iran. And I would like for you to turn with me in your Bibles today, also to Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51. Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51 have to do with Babylon or Iraq, present-day Iraq. And with Bible prophecy, the prophecies can have a short, immediate future, and then in one verse, that Bible prophet can skip like 2,000 years down to the present day, and you can see things that have never been really fulfilled. We see things with the nation of Iraq and judgments called Babylon in chapters 50 and 51 of Jeremiah, which had an immediate filling, but which point on to a future fulfilling when Israel has returned back to its land. And I think we're seeing some of these things take place in Iraq right now. But today our focus is going to be Elam or Iran. And I want you to look, there's a series of chapters here which talk about nations, ancient nations, and then it says they will be brought back at the end in the last days. The Bible calls it literally the end of days for a judgment. Now, to give you the example of this, let's look in Jeremiah 48:47. "I will bring again the captivity of Moab in the end of days," King James says latter days, "saith the Lord. This is for the judgment of Moab." Moab is present-day Jordan. Then we go into the Ammonites, chapter 49. Ammon is the capital of Jordan. Then we go into Damascus. And there are other places that have to do with prophecies concerning Damascus. I'm particularly watching those prophecies in Zechariah right now concerning Damascus. But then we go to Elam, and I want you to get the wording here of this in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 39. It shall come to pass in the end of days or latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam or Iran, saith the Lord. And so we are looking now at these ancient lands are on the front page of the newspapers these days. I believe we're getting near to that time that the Bible speaks of as the end of days before we go into the millennial reign. Now, Ezekiel 38 and 39 also have some things to tell us about Russia and about Iran and about an alliance between those two. We are seeing right now Russia and Iran come to agreements. I I'd like to look right now, too. I hadn't planned to do so, but give me some time to turn there in my Bible. I want to turn to Psalm 83 because Psalm 83 is happening before our very eyes. It says in Psalm 83, "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still. For lo, thine enemies," notice that it calls it God's enemies, "thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagarenes," and it goes on to mention this confederacy of the last days, which has as its goal what it says in verse 4, cutting Israel off from being a nation. Have you heard those words recently on the television? Have you seen them on the internet or heard them on the radio? Those are the words of Ahmadinejad, the present-day head president of the nation of Iran, ancient Elam. He has said, let's cut them off from being a nation. He is a Shia, and the Shia, as a Shiite, he's looking for the 12th Imam to come. He too believes it is the last days, and what we're going to get down here to see is who's really right, the Bible or the Quran. We're going to see. I don't believe this is an Arab-Israeli problem. I believe this is a God of the Bible, the creator of the universe says, as he has revealed himself in the written word of God, challenged by an evil prince of this world that we call Satan or Satan, the adversary. We'll see who is God. And of course, we know who is God and the true God. The other is really a counterfeit, really a copying of God's word that gives religions its sources of this day. Now, Iran, which is also in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as an ally of Russia coming down from the north into Israel. There are many chapters in the Bible, many things in the Bible, prophecies in the Bible having to do with Iran in the last days. But we see that Iran has become a power in the country just north of Israel named Lebanon. We went yesterday into Lebanon's history. We saw how that after World War I, it was divided. It was pronounced a nation by and given its independence by France, that its borders were drawn by France, that they became a democracy, but they became a democracy with something in their constitution which said only a Christian could be the head over the nation of Lebanon. And so after 1970, Black September in Jordan, and yesterday we went into this in more detail, and we will tell you by the end of the program how you can get all this series that I'm giving right now. We gave the history of how after an uprising by Yasser Arafat and his Palestinian terrorists, after an uprising in Jordan in which they tried to assassinate King Hussein, King Hussein put them down, shot dead 15,000 to 20,000 of them, and they fled the only place the Arab world would let them go. They fled into southern Lebanon. In southern Lebanon, they took over, they moved into, infiltrated the Shia villages. Now, they were Sunnis, and they didn't like the Shias, but the Sunnis and the Shias both don't like Israel. And so they said to the Shia villages on that border, let us come in and let us form a terrorist group against Israel, terrorize them from the southern villages. They did do that. But they also did something else. They upset the democracy of Lebanon, throwing it into a paralyzing civil war. How did they do that? They said to those Shia on those villages, this isn't fair. This isn't fair that you can't have the top presidency, that you can't control the parliament. And they encouraged the uprising that became the Civil War of Lebanon. Israel went in during this time in 1982 with the Peace of Galil campaign after Yasser Arafat, who was operating from Beaufort Castle. And when Israel came in, they established a buffer zone. This buffer zone ran from probably 2 to 9 miles wide in different places as it was bordered by the Litani River. And that buffer zone, they kept between them. Israel patrolled that buffer zone with their armies, with their IDF soldiers, and they kept a buffer zone between them and their and the terrorists. They would be attacked by those terrorists. They would lose people, personnel. And so Israel's always ready for peace. They don't want to have wars. And in 2000, Ehud Barak ran for prime minister and won on the promise that he would move out of that buffer zone. They did move out in the year 2000. And it was thought that the SLA, the Southern Lebanese Army, would come in because in that buffer zone, Israel had established a lot of military posts. We have stood on the border and seen these military posts. As we stood with Mike Ginsburg at Misgavon, we talked about it yesterday. You can see him on our website. We would stand there and look into these Shia villages, and we would look through the years. We looked and saw the Israeli outposts, the military outposts, as they were on the hilltops. But then after Israel came out of the buffer zone, they thought the SLA would take over those military outposts. They did not. And coming into them were Hezbollah. We have stood there. The engineer who's doing this today is Randy Laughlin, who's helping me with this program. And Randy is also a photographer. He stood there and he has photos. I think we will put this up on our website of when we looked over into those Shia villages where the Hezbollah has now come, and the Hezbollah would look down at us. We did wave at them, and they waved back at us, but as we were looking at them with our binoculars, they were looking at us with theirs, and these are the places that have been thrown into a war by an incident at Shabbos Farms. Mike Ginsburg told us for years that Hezbollah was going to, Iran through Hezbollah, was going to try to force a confrontation with Israel, and they would do it from a place called Shabbos Farms. Shabbos Farm is not farms. It was land that Syria owned before 1967. Israel got it back from Syria, but the Iranian-backed Hezbollah said, oh no, that wasn't Syria's, that was Lebanon's, and we're going to liberate it. From time to time through the years, they would put rockets in, they would shell it, but on July 12th, there came the big attack, in which they killed 8 Israeli soldiers, and they kidnapped 2. Israel could put up with it no longer, and thence began the confrontation that we are seeing right now in Iran with Hezbollah. I want to tell you, Lebanon with the Iranian-backed Hezbollah. I want to invite you to go on to our webcast. That's Billy Brim, BILLYEBRIM.org. And you can see a weekly update. We update it every week. We stream it every day. We also print the transcript. You can see what's going on. You can also get these radio broadcasts. We have 4 sessions. They are available to you by CD, $6. By a cassette, $5. Just write us at Billy Brim, Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you can telephone us at 1-800-972-3447, the CD or the cassette. This is Billy Brim trying to stay up with you with what's happening. Tomorrow we'll even take a look at what's happening in what did happen out of London. And so, this is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.